This is the Mike McFeely Show on Live Local First, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
Give me a grade, Pinto, on Saturday in the Fargo-Moorhead area. A, B, C, D, F.
A.
Okay.
As simple as that. It was an A. And I'm assuming you're going to be talking about the fanfare for ESPN's College Game Day in downtown Fargo.
Apparently it doesn't matter what I was going to talk about. It's an A no matter what.
Well, huh? It really was. I think overall the whole day was pretty much an A-plus for the Fargo-Moorhead area. Fans of NDSU and fans of Fargo in general.
I think
general.
Just the weather was an A. Everything else is a bonus after the weather on Saturday. But yeah, I was going to ask you about the ESPN hoopla followed by a rather dull NDSU football game. Oof. Where they beat Delaware State 51-0. Could have been even worse. But I think it was pretty much an A, if not an A+. And I know that people are going, oh, of course. Things could have not gone the way that people wanted them to go. It could have rained. It could have, and you could have lost. There could have been all kinds of riots in the streets. Although, with the Fargo Police Department, that wouldn't have let that happen, right?
Right, exactly.
And I'm not just saying it because Fargo Police Chief Keith Ternus is here in studio with us today for his monthly discussion on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Chief Ternus. How are you?
Very good, Mike. How are you?
How was Saturday for you guys?
Outstanding.
Was
outstanding.
It?
The weather aside, which, of course, was just a beautiful day all the way around, to have that type of large-scale event occur in downtown Fargo and for us to really have no issues, literally no issues, was just a compliment to everybody involved in terms of how successful that was.
There was nobody arrested. There was nobody... anything at all happened?
We had, I think we found two individuals who were underage consuming alcohol downtown, and that's actually below normal what we might find on an average Saturday. So,
well, it was at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
so
true.
What was your reaction when ESPN first brought this thing up? Because I would presume that from a police department standpoint, this was a major undertaking and very short notice. Was there any, hey, wait a second here, let's talk about this before we decide to have this thing?
No, you know, we quite often those types of things happen where, you know, we get 2, 3, 4 days notice where, you know, some big event like this is going to take place. To be honest with you, sometimes, or I should say most of the time, it's because some dignitary, maybe the president or the vice president, is coming to town and we don't get a whole lot of notice. We just have to prepare. And so in this regard, we did the exact same thing. We were actually trying to anticipate and prepare on the high side. So originally we were really planning for about 10,000 people. And I think we ended up with about half that. But to be quite honest with you, and again, compliments to ESPN because, you know, from the moment that they did notify us, really up until the last truck left town, they were very open with their communication, did a very good job of coordinating things with us, so things went really well.
So when you have an event like this, and I think this is a fair question. I had people ask me this a lot over the weekend. Who pays for it? Who pays for you guys to be on staff? I assume that some overtime was involved. Maybe not, but you can explain it to people. Who ends up footing the bill when ESPN comes to town and does this?
Well, if there's any challenges for us when we have this type of event, especially because of the short notice, it's to make sure that we have enough personnel scheduled to work that event. And in this particular case, again, through some of the communication we had with ESPN, we actually had, 22 police officers that were assigned just downtown for this event. And ESPN picks up the tab for all of that because of those 22, just about every one of them was down there on an overtime basis. So ESPN will be getting a bill from us, which they're expecting, and they're going to pick up the expense.
How much is it going to be?
Well, let's see. On average... about 22 officers times about $38 an hour. So it'll be a big bill. I think they can afford it, though.
I think they did okay. Is that a usual procedure when something comes to town, especially or on short notice or long notice? Is it usual procedure for the who's ever coming to town to pick up the tab?
Yes and no. For an event like this where it's kind of a corporate or a business type of sponsorship type of event, they will pay. If it's a dignitary, a political figure, for example, that's on us.
If it's politicians, in other words, it's on you.
When the president of the United States comes to town, regardless of which party they represent or who it is, they don't pay. We pay.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, very, very interesting. Very interesting. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show, for his monthly chat with us. Here's the deal. You can ask the chief any questions you would like pertaining to, well, anything if you want, but he probably answer questions most knowledgeably about police officering in Fargo-Moorhead and law enforcement in the area. Our phone numbers are 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. You can email us at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com or you can text us with our text club, 35270. If you'd include the word Mike, I'd appreciate it somewhere in the text, so I know it is directed at me. Now, I've heard, and actually I saw Lieutenant Vettel on TV driving the golf cart. Has the smile come off his face yet? First of all, after driving around Phil Hansen and Craig Bohl, I think, downtown to do their appearances, has Joel Vettel settled down a little bit after Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you what, I did have to send him home today. I tasked him when ESPN first contacted us. I tasked him with being the liaison with ESPN, representing the police department. I think he did a phenomenal job, as did really all of the staff. Of course, he didn't do this by himself, but Joel did a great job. Really proud of the work that him and really all of the staff did relative to this event. But I think beyond offering him to take the rest of the day off, he had a big smile on his face when I told him that too.
But, that's good. Because now, when the bison, they had the baby bison, and that whole thing was kept pretty well under wraps. I presume that you guys knew about it because you were there, I presume. The question I have, and I ask this in somewhat serious, somewhat jest, what happens if that bison goes nuts? If that little baby bison starts dragging Lee Corso around the streets of Fargo, what happens? Did you have like shooters on the roof or something to take the thing out, or what was going to happen?
No. In fact, if as smoothly as this whole event went, when we were sitting in a meeting on Thursday morning, up until that meeting, we did not know that they were actually planning this. And so as we were working our way around the table, talking about some of the last minute details, they brought up the fact that, oh, by the way, we're going to have this live bison at the Fargo Theater. And then you see all of these gray hair right about here.
Yeah.
That's where those came from, because there really is no way for us to have controlled had that animal gotten out of control. So we spend a fair amount of time talking with the people down at the Wahpeton Zoo where the animal came from. We talked even from a legal perspective with ESPN,
mm-hmm.
and we made sure that all of those bases were covered before we were willing to at least acknowledge that they were gonna do this. And then just as a last contingency, we had an agreement with ESPN that up until the doors opened at the Fargo Theater, we reserved the right to put a stop to that in the event that there was some condition or something that we hadn't planned for that might have presented a public safety risk. So it probably was the thing out of this whole event that caused me maybe to be on the edge of my chair a little bit.
How were you there? Were you inside the Fargo Theater when the bison was inside there?
No, because had it gotten loose, I'd have been no position to do anything.
But I mean, because it was loud. I mean, the crowd was cheering, and I'm presuming that a bison, which is normally at the Chihinkabah Zoo down by the river, it's pretty quiet and serene down there. I'm guessing, did the animal get nervous? Did Vettel or anybody say that it was, you know, stampeding around the Fargo Theater or what?
No, actually, from the people that were there, and Joel was one of them that was right outside the door, that the animal actually was a little apprehensive about coming outside. I think you could see that on television. But other than that, no, it was very docile. And like I said, that's one of the things that we needed to be assured of by the zoo and the handler, that this animal was at least accustomed to being exposed to crowds. Certainly nothing like this.
No,
but they gave us every assurance that that we needed to that the animal was safe to be in that environment.
It would have made for some very interesting TV and some viral videos had Corso the bison got a little excited out on the street. Let's put it that way.
ESPN being in Fargo and College Game Day probably would have taken a back seat to that story.
I probably think so. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. You have a chance to speak with the chief if you would like. He stops in once a month to take questions from listeners and chat with the people who he serves here in Fargo and in the area. So if you have a question about law enforcement, if you have a question about anything, downtown cameras or stoplights or any rule, law, whatever, give us a call right now. 237-5948, 800-880-5346. KFGO.studio at KFGO.com is our email. This is the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO. It's true. Kind of informally call this segment Cop Talk on the Mike McFeely Show, but you have a chance to talk with the chief of police of the great city of Fargo. His name is Keith Turnus, and he is in studio with us until 3 o'clock this afternoon. So if you have a question, please call in 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. And you have some callers early in the show. It's a major upset here on this Monday. Blaine in Fargo, you're on with Police Chief Keith Turnus. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, why is there a school zone on 12th Avenue North Broadway all the way to down by Sanford, 20 mile an hour?
Yeah, that school zone was actually put in place several years ago, and I think it came by way of the request of people who have kids that go over to Roosevelt School that have to get across Broadway. We've actually had some recent conversations with the traffic engineer as to just how valuable because it's a fairly lengthy stretch of Broadway there that school zone impacts. We've had some of those conversations to see if there's still a need to maintain that, but that's where it comes from.
All right, thanks.
Yep, thanks, Blaine. Good question. Todd in Fargo. Todd, you are on KFGO. Go ahead.
Hi, Chief.
Hi.
Question with regard to the new two-way traffic on NP and First Avenue North and the markings. I've noticed that in a lot of areas, there's double yellow line, which I believe means no turning left across. Is that true?
Well, not necessarily. The double yellow line, as I'm guessing you know, really is intended to demonstrate that you're not allowed to pass. But you'll notice how I think they're still there, where they have the orange cone set up along there. Sooner or later, those are going to disappear. Those are there just to remind people that there is separated or divided traffic there. But I don't think those two yellow lines there are not to prohibit any type of a left turn. They're intended to demonstrate that you're not supposed to pass there.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the phone call. 237-5948, 800-880-5346. How is that going downtown, by the way, the two-way traffic on both NP and First Avenue?
So far, so good. Surprisingly well, actually, because we haven't had any crashes, so to speak, directly related to that. I kind of expected that we'd get more complaints maybe from some of the delivery people because of the lack of the ability to double park down there now. That has not happened. People seem to have adjusted to that two-way traffic. Some still don't like it, but so far so good. It has not caused near the disruption I think some people were anticipating.
It's rather well marked, I'll say that. So if you can't figure out that it's a two-way street these days, you're texting way too much.
Oh, yes.
If you're not, is it going to stay like that? Do you know what's the long-range plan on?
I think
on how long the posts are going to stay up and all that. It's you can't mistake that it's a two-way street.
No, I'm going to guess, and I haven't talked to the traffic engineer specifically about this, but I'm going to guess when we get to the front end of winter, when we start to see snow or the strong likelihood of snow, I think that's where you're going to see that change.
So when it comes to I lost my train of thought. I apologize. I was going to ask you about the downtown cameras. I made reference earlier to the downtown cameras. Because, you know, I've been not a fan of your downtown cameras because it's just one of those weird quirks I have that I don't want to be watched all the time and whatever, that you've told me that we're not watching all the time, Mike. You're really not that interesting. How are those things working? I think you referenced that you actually helped solve a crime with the downtown cameras.
You know, obviously, even this weekend, having those cameras where they were at gave us a tool to help us monitor the crowds that were gathering downtown. But I'll tell you, even though it doesn't happen every day, the cameras have proven to be beneficial. I'll give you a recent example. We had the robbery that occurred at Steve's Package Store, I think about 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to solve that case and make an arrest by way of the cameras. Cameras didn't capture the robbery when it occurred, but the subject who actually robbed the store ended up leaving his shirt at the scene of the robbery. And it had some unique markings on it. And so what we did is we went back and we looked at some of the footage from the previous couple of days, and wouldn't you know, there's our individual walking up and down Broadway wearing that shirt.
Really?
Yeah. And so, of course, the downtown resource officer was able to identify who that person was wearing the shirt. We went, scooped him up, and robbery solved.
Now, did you have a reason to go back and look at some of the footage from the downtown cameras because you thought that this guy might be wandering around downtown, or what would spur you to go back and look at some specific footage looking for a shirt?
The description that the clerk gave us led us to believe that it might be one of our individuals who frequents downtown on a regular basis, and going back and watching the video of him actually wearing the shirt he left at the scene led us right to
him. No, that was my question, because the big worry I have is people looking at stuff just randomly, but if you have a reason to go look at it, and I'm sure that everybody kind of knows who's hanging around certain parts of town, and that's use the cameras for that purpose. Perfect. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. If you have a question, give us a call, 237-5948, 800-880-5346, or send us an email at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. Welcome back to the Mike McFeely Show on this Monday afternoon. Big weekend in Fargo with the ESPN game day and the big football celebration, the blowout against Delaware State. And you said, Chief, by the way, to keep going down the road of football and ESPN, by the way. You said there wasn't much happening downtown. I think two people cited, you said, for underage drinking. What happened to tailgating? Is that normally a pretty reserved affair, or are there arrests made, or people, you know, throwing the pokey, or what?
Well, I'll tell you what. Again, a tribute to both the people that engage in the tailgating and the way NDSU has managed their part of that. The Fargo Dome, the same thing. They do a nice job. Since tailgating started several years ago, we really have had very few problems up there. In fact, I think a lot of that is attributable to the fact that people do a good job of policing that for themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't want there to be any problems up there. They don't want to ruin a good thing for the people that are engaged in that. But as a general rule, we do have police officers that work at the tailgating area. We probably, on average, I suppose, anywhere between 6 and 10 minors who are either consuming or possessing alcohol. We'll find about that many at every tailgating event. That's exactly what we found this last weekend. I think there were 12 total. So that was not what happened up at tailgating this past weekend was pretty much what we would find at any tailgating event.
And just from an anecdotal standpoint, I've been to enough tailgating events at the Dome that it just from a visual standpoint, I've seen, I think, one fight. I saw two college kids. You know, they had too much to drink. They were smarting off to each other, and they threw a couple roundhouses at one another, fell on the ground and wrestled for a while till their buddies broke them up. And that's really all I've seen. You see people who are intoxicated. For the most part, they're chatty, but not, you know, being jerks about it. But, I mean, that's kind of just the way we do things around here.
That's exactly right. I mean, even the people who overindulge up at tailgating are not problematic. They're there to have a good time. They have a good time, and but they don't cause hardly any issues for us, other than the occasional minor who wanders in there and either is using or possesses alcohol and shouldn't be.
Too many high fives. That would be my around here when people get too drunk at tailgating, they want to high five everybody. That would be my observation. Knock off the high fiving, guys. I don't need to high five everybody. Neil in Alexandria, you have a question for the police chief of Fargo. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, and I really respect the chief. I've listened to him before. I do have a lot of respect. But my question is paid administrative leave. We've seen it here in Minnesota where law enforcement doesn't have appropriate conduct, and it just isn't shooting. It's having sexual conduct with minors and stuff like that. Doesn't that give us a bad taste to the rest of us in the private sector, and I'd like your comment on that.
Well, as far as the paid administrative leave, I think you got to keep in mind a couple of things. Number one, in Minnesota, you're working under within a union environment, and so a lot of those issues are captured by way of some of those contractual agreements between employer and employee. And the other thing to keep in mind is that even police officers, even those that are not in a union environment, as administrators, we have to give them due process. In other words, we can't. In most cases, they still have a property right to their job, and so just automatically firing them for an issue It does not happen. We have to provide them with due process. But I think to maybe the core of your question about officer misconduct or law enforcement officers that engage in conduct that is either embarrassing to the agency, the individual officer themselves, or in some cases even the community they represent, is something that I think you're going to see more and more police chiefs and sheriffs starting to take a very hard line stand on. At the risk of sounding too strict myself, I will tell you that when we have officers who engage in misconduct, that's something we take very seriously. We hold them accountable. And if it crosses a line where it's something where I think they should no longer serve as a police officer here in Fargo, unfortunately, I've had to fire a couple. So I think it's something we take very seriously, and I think other chiefs and sheriffs do so as well.
And that's, I think you kind of answered my next follow-up question, but it was, is there a threshold for paid administrative leave? Is there a threshold for, what are there levels? There's always levels of misconduct. You know, stealing a pencil is one level of misconduct, and having sex with an underage person is a whole different level of misconduct.
Well, there is certain levels. And I think when a police officer gets placed on paid administrative leave, it's serious enough where you really, as a police chief, you have to question, should this person continue to serve as a police officer while the issue is being resolved? And I think that's when you'll see, when that question is out there, that's when you'll see an officer placed on administrative leave. But if it's a minor infraction, a minor policy violation where it doesn't jeopardize the officer's ability to do their job, then I think you'll see them remain at work while the issue is being resolved.
Email comes in and says, what measures were taken at the game day celebration to prevent something like what happened at the Boston Marathon? If anything, were backpacks allowed or were they searched?
Well, I can't go into all the details, of course, because those that might want to disrupt an event like that, I don't want to give away all of our secrets, but in this particular case, ESPN actually did most of the security work for individuals who were allowed into the area that was visible on TV, the pit.
The pit, yes.
Yeah. And so as people came in and out of that area, there were certain items that they were not allowed to bring in there. A kind of a cursory search of somebody's purse or backpack did take place. There was no pat-down searching or anything like that. And for the rest of the crowd that was gathered on sidewalks or out on the street, no, there was no searching done there.
Text message comes in for you, Chief. It says, to Chief Turnus, regarding vehicles turning onto a four-lane street or a one-way and turning into the wrong lane, why is this enforced so subjectively and on such an erratic basis? It would seem you should either not enforce it at all or enforce it totally. It's a very common occurrence, as I see most people do it.
Yeah, it is. And so
yep.
It is. So is speeding. 7, 8, 9 miles an hour over the speed limit is
Council Bluffs, Iowa, 5 miles over the speed limit. But go on.
Yes. I think the person who the message comes from is frustrated. Understand that, because it's a issue that comes up with some regularity. People are, it's almost like don't people know that they're supposed to, when they make that turn, what lane they're supposed to turn into? But from an enforcement standpoint, again, I know this sounds like an excuse, but if we spend all of our time and attention, or a great majority of our time and attention, on infractions like that, we would write a mountain of traffic citations, and we simply don't have the time to do that.
Do you know the police chief in Council Bluffs, Iowa? Are you a friend of his? Could you make a phone call for me? Could you find out more about the officer who nailed me for going 5 over the speed limit?
Well, see, now I've heard this 30. Was it a city police officer?
It was a city police officer from Council Bluffs. I was going along I-94, or not I-94, I-29 rather. There was a curve in the road. Apparently, it was. They lowered the speed limit to 55 in that stretch because it was a curve in the road. I've called the officer Barney Fife, which is probably a very sad thing to call him. I have no disrespect to you. But he pulled out, weaved through traffic. I had the KFGO pickup. He pulled me over. He said, you know how fast you were going? I said, no, I don't. He said, you're going 73. I said, no, I wasn't. He said, well, how fast were you going? I said, 60. I'll be right back. Goes back to his squad, writes a ticket. I wrote you for 60 because you said you were going 60, right? I said, yes, I did. And I will pay my ticket for $85. Anything you can do for me there?
Well, I can tell you at five over in the city of Fargo probably cost you $6.
So I love Fargo so much.
But no, I'm sorry. I can't help you.
Is it a common thing for police officers to say one number and then have the driver give them a number, then write them a ticket for that number? Because you said you were going 60, right?
Well, I can tell you in Fargo, that is not and would not be the way that I would like Fargo police officers to handle traffic enforcement. This is not a pick your number and then I'll write you the ticket. You, if you were 13 over, 15 over, whatever.
If I was 18 over, then nail me. That's fine. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have me pick out a number just to give me a number, I think it's unethical.
No.
I thought it was very unethical for the Council Bluffs officer to do that to me.
Yeah. I can't speak to how they do business there, but just how you're describing this. No, I wouldn't agree with that.
Because you know that the person who gets the ticket never gets the story distorted or changes at all, does he? It's, you know that what's coming out of my mouth right now is the gospel truth.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
That's why every drunk driver, everyone, to a person, how many have you had? Two. Everybody's had two.
Speaking of which, by the way, this segues nicely into an email question. It says, Mike, could you ask the chief about the DUI checkpoint over the weekend? Some 253, I think, vehicles stopped, two people cited. Emailer wants to know, is this worth it? Is it worth the expense if you're only going to nail two people?
Well, number one, I would say yes, it is, because those are two impaired drivers that we may not have found otherwise. And so those are two drunk drivers we took off the road by way of the checkpoint. I like to look at that and say, okay, there were 200 plus individuals who went through the checkpoint that hopefully heard about, knew about that we were going to conduct the checkpoint. And that led at least a majority of them to make a smart decision about not drinking and driving. Two individuals didn't get the message, obviously. So, we have this debate from time to time about the value of checkpoints. No question, there's a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of resources that go into conducting a checkpoint. You can make the argument that, well, you know, had the officers that were there working the checkpoint, had they been out there doing just random patrol, they might have found more impaired drivers. There are times, clearly, where we find that. There are other times where we've actually made more arrests out of the checkpoint than we do by way of the random patrols. So I don't think it's an either-or proposition. The checkpoints are designed to try and instill a deterrent impact so people make a better decision, and they are just part of the effort that we make towards combating the whole issue of drunk driving.
Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus in studio with us for about 13 more minutes. So if you have a question or comment you want to make, please get it in now. 237-5948-800. 880-5346. We have one caller on hold. Jason, stick with me if you wish, and I'll go to your right when we come back from this break. In the meantime, let you know you are listening to the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO. I look at the number of phone calls that are now on our phone system here, and I look at the clock and I say it must be 250 because now we have full phone lines for the police chief of Fargo.
You sure they don't want to visit about you in Iowa?
No, they have no sympathy for me whatsoever. None. And nor would I expect any sympathy. I was going five over. Please give me an $85 ticket, sir. Jason in Fargo, you're on with Keith Turnus. Go ahead.
Hey, right on. Thanks for letting me take the call, or let me talk, Mike. Police Chief, very nice to talk with you. Thank you for your service. We've never met, but I've always and supported you and liked you. Two quick questions. The first one was about concealed carry. How do you, sir, feel about concealed carry? I just went down to the Sheriff's Department today and found out I have to go online to get everything renewed. Not the problem. How do you feel personally about me, a legal citizen, carrying a gun?
Well, I have no heartburn with that whatsoever. In fact, to answer your question, when it comes to concealed carry, people who can do that lawfully, if they, for whatever reason, if they want to carry a weapon concealed, as long as they're doing it lawfully, I've got no heartburn with that whatsoever.
Wonderful. Thank you for your answer on that, sir.
This is where I might run afoul of some individuals, and that is, of course, we're making a transition now in North Dakota and other places in the country relative to open carry, where individuals are now allowed to carry firearms openly, unloaded, of course, but openly. And I think that has the potential to really create some unnecessary concern, some angst amongst people. I mean, you can imagine, for example, somebody walks into a Walmart or even strolling downtown that's openly carrying a weapon. That's going to cause some concern for some people. And for the gun rights people, you might argue that, you know, hey, it shouldn't. It's a Second Amendment issue, et cetera, et cetera. one which I wholeheartedly support, the Second Amendment, but this open carry concept, I think from a law enforcement perspective, I think that has the potential to create some issues.
I'm going to just keep going with phone calls here. Dan, on the road, you have a question about DUI laws for the chief. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. A regular license versus a Class A CDL license. What are the limits on that? And also, a Class A CDL driver, if they're in their own personal vehicle, what are the limits on that?
If you have a commercial driver's license, the only time the rules change for you relative to impaired driving is if you are driving a commercial vehicle. So if you're driving your own car, the rules are exactly the same. It's 0.08 and all of the things that go along with that. If you're driving a commercial vehicle, then your commercial driver's license becomes susceptible to an increased penalty if your blood alcohol level is 0.04 or higher if you're driving that commercial vehicle at the time.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Milt. Milt, you're on the road. You're on with Police Chief Turnus. Go ahead.
Yes, I just have a quick question on, like that Travis Beck incident. If there was officers outside of, like, Reuters, Bar of Gold, like Old Broadway, would that have not helped? Because I think that he got baited on that, where they would say, oh, the Mighty Bison player, and if there was an officer there, none of this would even have happened.
Well, I don't know if anything would have changed simply because a police officer was there. I mean, obviously you had the two individuals that I suppose you should argue or could argue that really responsible for their own actions, but it kind of comes back to our disagreement on downtown cameras.
Mm, yeah.
The cameras in that case were able to prove what didn't happen and, of course, led to having an actual video of what occurred, what didn't occur, and I think it went to a large extent towards dismissing some of the charges against Mr. Beck.
Well, and I don't think it's realistic to have officers stationed everywhere either. I mean, that's just not – you can't have 15 police officers in downtown Fargo on a given Friday night.
No, right? And I'll tell you, we do have officers that have a regular presence downtown, and to be quite honest with you, on a Friday or Saturday night, you'll find that their presence – doesn't have any impact because people will still pour out and engage in a fight out on the sidewalk. So
alcohol, I think, is the common theme there. Imagine that alcohol is involved. Paul in Grand Forks, question about DUIs. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you get pulled over and you do a blood alcohol test and that comes back below 0.08, but the test shows that you had traces of cocaine or amphetamine in your blood, would you still get charged with a DUI?
Yes, you can. In fact, two things. Number one, keep in mind that there is no level. There's no 0.08 level when it comes to drugs like marijuana, cocaine. So if you have those things in your system, just the presence of them in your system could lead to a DUI conviction. It requires a little bit more observation on the part of the arresting officer because, of course, like I said, they can't rely on a certain threshold. They have to rely pretty much on their observation of impairment. The other thing to keep in mind is this, and it's really a misnomer about DUI relative to alcohol. People think that if I'm under a 0.08, that I can't be charged or arrested for impaired driving. That's not true. There are it doesn't happen very often, but there are individuals who at a 0.06, 0.07 exhibit some incredible signs of intoxication or impairment, and that could lead to a conviction for DUI as well.
Texted in and says, Mike, go to court and challenge the ticket in Iowa. I did a stop sign ticket once and won. Trouble is I'm like 6 hours away from Council Bluffs, Iowa, so I don't think I'm going to be driving down to Iowa to challenge the ticket. I'll let Barney win this round. Mike, I have a question for the police chief. It is, why is it such a big deal to police when people light off fireworks on the 4th of July?
Well, it's really not a big deal. In fact, so little so that we do very little enforcement. Very few citations are written for fireworks use over the 4th of July, but it is illegal. People misunderstand that. They think that since it's widespread, that somehow it must be legal. It's not. We try to enforce that by way of compliance, not tickets.
It is your job to uphold the laws as they are passed,
mm-hmm.
correct?
It is.
Whether you like that law or not, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, Chief. Thank you as always. Thanks for stopping by. Because people seem to think that, you know, you guys make the laws. You don't make the laws. Police officers do not make the laws. You follow the laws as they are passed.
That's true. We do not make the laws. Our job is to enforce the law. But the follow up to that is we have to enforce the law with some reasonableness. 2 miles an hour over the speed limit. 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Yeah. And I think you and I might agree that the reasonable thing for the officer to have done there. Maybe not to have written a five mile an hour over the limit ticket.
Thank you, Chief. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus. More to come on the Mike McFeely Show.